What? Sorry, no offense, you guys, but I'm just going to take my name tag.
Microphone. All right, welcome to Planning Commission tonight. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all your work on the tech end. We appreciate you doing that every week. We will open any public comments that are not on the agenda items, if there are any public comments. There are no public comments, so we will move to agenda item 3, consideration of a conditional use permit for Anywhere Motors at 640 North Main Street. Dallin Knudsen as the applicant. Do we have Dallin here today? Or a representative?
Sure.
All right, we'll just go for it. Mackenzie.
Okay, conditional use permit for Anywhere Movers at 640 North Main Street. Anywhere Movers is a company that does residential moving and also commercial moving. Right now, they rent U-Hauls and then do all the moving, return them. They have one F-150 truck and one 6x12 enclosed trailer that they will park at the site of 640 North Main. This is a conditional use because it's identified as used household and office goods moving. And the DRC is recommending approval of this conditional use permit with the condition that outdoor storage of any kind, including additional moving trucks and things like that, be prohibited unless the business comes back at a later date and seeks a conditional use permit amendment. The reason for that is because right now we're anticipating them to have a couple employees, one truck, one trailer that's coming and going parked at a multi-tenant building. The applicant before this meeting did email me and say, if I did secure some vehicles, could I park them on the gravel area that is on the south side of this property? And the answer to that is unfortunately no. This property is in our drinking well water source protection zone. It's this big acronym, meaning it's in close enough proximity to a well that it has water well, that it has additional restrictions as to what type of business can go there. And right before this meeting, I spoke with Karen, our city engineer, and she identified that parking of any vehicles on a non-hard surface that has adequate drainage is not going to be permissible at this location. So I fear that even if they did get additional vehicles and they return to us for conditional use permit, there would either have to be some site improvements and there would have to be additional asphalt paved, or they would have to identify a location of where in the parking lot they can park those vehicles, the quantity, and also ensure us and give us the information about what other tenants are in that building and what parking they have to make sure we are not over allocating to this business. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Mackenzie. Did you inform the applicant about the parking restriction?
Not yet, because it happened literally right before this meeting.
Right before. Okay.
Well, he knew about the condition that we were recommending of, hey, if you want to park more than your F-150 and trailer, you need to get a conditional use permit amendment and we need to address this. But since he emailed me, I just barely spoke with the city engineer about that gravel area.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions from the commission?
I'm missing the gravel area on the photo.
It is to the, so the yellow outline is our property boundary, and Sherry's showing you right now.
Okay.
Thank you, Sherry.
Sorry, it didn't look like gravel to me.
And that property.
This is actually my deal. I don't know if I can interject. Sorry.
You absolutely can.
But I have the same thing here. So I'm actually the one for this conditional permit. So I don't know where we're at. I just walked in. I'm sorry, but I just thought I'd just come make myself known.
We're glad you're here.
That's okay. Thank you for being here.
It's helpful. Do you guys want to ask him any questions since he's up here?
Any questions for the applicant from anyone on the commission?
Did he get the part that you just said? Maybe he should know that.
Okay, so I'm going to speak into the mic.
Sorry, I'm late, guys.
You're okay. So I spoke with the city engineer, and this is in a drinking water source protection zone.
Okay.
It's close enough to a well that she will not permit any parking of any vehicles on that gravel area because they leak. So that's out, but I was just telling these guys, if you were to come back at a later date when you've secured more vehicles and said, we've allocated this area of the paved parking lot or we're gonna pave this.
Then we can look at it.
But you would also have to tell us what other tenants are in the building and what other parking pressures are there, because we can't over allocate for your business.
Okay, well yeah, currently we do not have our own moving trucks, so not a concern now, and we may or may not even get one this year. So, but anyways, so thanks, I guess. And we'll just move forward with, I know this is a conditional part for getting our business license, so.
Great.
On the right track.
So, okay. So Mackenzie, I don't have any questions for the applicant or even relative to this,
okay, thank you.
Yeah. This conditional use permit, but I do have a question about the general use of the property. So there's an existing automotive business there. So given what you just said about drinking water source protection, do we know whether or not that particular business is under some kind of a conditional use permit and so forth? I mean, I, from the aerial photos, spotted some concerns. I actually drove out and looked at it. Nothing I saw appeased my concerns. Given what you said in particular, what's the city's responsibility in terms of, enforcing that
sure.
Water protection?
I think that's ultimately, and Sherry can also respond to this, but I think that's ultimately going to be at the discretion of Karen Baxter, our city engineer, who is also our water administrator. But I can tell you that car dealership on the southwest corner of the property fronting Main Street has been there for a very, very long time. And so it's one of those situations where it would be considered legal nonconforming. Now that said, if Karen comes to us and says, this is a severe problem, I think she might have the ability to shut it down. But I'd like Sherry's input on that as well.
What I was going to share was that she may not be aware of that if they are parking on a non-paved surface. I know that she's been working with our code enforcement officer on another property just up the street from here where they've found like 60...
Salvaged vehicles. That's what we're going to call them.
In the same zone, and code enforcement's been working on that to get those removed. And so I think she has some target properties. We just can't do it all at once. So I think that has that in her mind. If she doesn't know about this already, she does now.
And in the meantime, ever since I've been here, I've been trained to take that very seriously, our drinking water zone. And so anytime a business license comes in, even if it doesn't come to you guys for conditional use permit, we are having her check those to make sure they fall in line with those. I think they're federal standards, actually. So it's not going to get worse, but we are aware of some of the pre-existing businesses that are going to slowly go away, and I'm sure Karen will slowly target them as well. Mm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I appreciate all that. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Mackenzie. Any other comments or questions? And if not, we can move towards a motion.
I'll make a motion to move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for Anywhere Movers at 640 North Main Street with the following condition: outdoor storage, parking, and company vehicles.
Oh, your mic isn't on.
Oh.
All right, I'll start over. I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for Anywhere Movers at 640 North Main Street with the following condition: outdoor storage, parking of company vehicles except for one pickup truck and one enclosed trailer is prohibited at this location unless a conditional use permit amendment is filed and approved that addresses outdoor storage parking.
Thank you, Commissioner Ward. And do we have a second?
Commissioner Jorgensen, I second.
Thank you. Any comments or discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. And it passes. All right. Good luck to you. Thank you for coming.
You.
And we hope that works out for you and give you the best of the luck from the city. All right. We will move to agenda item 4, consideration of a plat amendment to divide lot 1B of the Eaglewood Village subdivision located at 290 South Orchard Drive. We have Alexis Riggs as the applicant. Do we have Ms. Riggs here today?
No, but we have her boss, question
mark? Thank you for being here. All right, so we do have an applicant here. All right, thank you for being here, Ann McKenzie.
Perfect. So this is a pretty quick and easy plat amendment, I would say. This is in our P district for Village Station. It is 290 South Orchard Drive. It's currently 2.024 acres and called Lot 1B of Eaglewood Village Subdivision, Fourth Amendment. This is where you see the Starbucks going in, and there is a separate building pad to the south of this one that is not being developed as part of Starbucks, but once they secure tenants, they plan to construct that. Right now, it's kind of tentatively preliminary, a multi-tenant drive-through of some sort. We did do the site plan for this general area of probably last year in July. So we've seen this before. Now the owner slash tenant of Starbucks would like to have their own parcel where their building is. So we have received a plat amendment to divide this lot in half, but maintain all cross access easements, parking easements, etc. We are not vacating, we are not dedicating any right of ways or easements. And for that reason, we do not need to have a public hearing, nor do we need to take this to city council. You as the, not directed, but you as the land use authority per our new code are the ones who will approve this, and then staff will finalize. So it takes a 2.024 acre parcel, splits it in half so that lot 1D is 0.982 acres and lot 1E is 1.042 acres. So they are super close, if not 100% satisfied with red lines. We had one where we were considering having them scoot the dividing property line a little bit over just because it's going down the drive aisle, but they have assured us that is common practice because there are shared access easements and things. So we trust them, and I see no problem with that. So we're recommending approval of this plat amendment with the condition of correction of engineering red lines, if any.
Great. Thank you, Mackenzie. Are there any comments or questions for Mackenzie or the applicant? And if not, we can move to a motion.
Commissioner Jorgensen, I move that the Planning Commission approve the plat amendment for Eaglewood Village Subdivision Fifth Amendment at 290 South Orchard with the following condition: 1, correction of engineering red lines.
Thank you. And do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Ward. And any comment or discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And it passes. All right, thank you for being here. And we will move to agenda item 5, consideration of a proposed amendment to the general development plan for the Clifton Place, including townhome design and development standards at 2596 South and 1095 North Redwood Road. We have John Blocker as the applicant. Do we have applicant here? Great, thank you for being here. And Mackenzie.
Okay, so this is a two-parter. We're going to talk about the same project, but there's two different agenda items and packet supports. So the first one we're looking at is the amendment to the general development plan for Clifton Place. Clifton Place was approved back in July of 2022 with their general development plan for the entire subdivision. They returned to us in October of 2022 and got council approval on a P district rezone, the development agreement, and preliminary plan for both the north and south side of the intersection of 1100 North and Redwood Road on the west side. That development agreement and rezone were never fully executed because the property ownership issues and market conditions and things like that. So these two parcels are still zoned general commercial. That said, the entitlement portion of what was approved should still stand, which is why we're doing an amendment to what was approved. This amendment is completely removing the southern side of the intersection. That will have to come through as a separate development agreement amendment or general development plan amendment because they will not own this property for a while. They have some agreements with that property owner, but they are closing on the property on the north side, I think in June, they said. So that one is coming up fast, and that rezone will take place as soon as the closing happens. Other things that have changed. So what we see here, what was approved in the general development plan, were all three-story townhomes, and there were a total of 185 between both the north and south parcels. And then also they had commercial frontage along the entire stretch of Redwood Road for the northern parcel, and then the corner of Redwood and 1100 for the southern. As I stated previously, the southern one is kind of just being wiped away with the expectation that whenever they secure the property, we're going to have another amendment to this. The other items that changed were that we changed the townhome type, so it's a mixture of two-story and three-story. So the end units on the revised site plan before you are two stories. Some of them have master bedrooms on the main level, and then the middle units are your three-story. They also reduced the total number of units to 68 from 74 on that northern parcel, which brought the density from what was approved on the northern parcel only from 17.41 dwelling units per net acre or per acre. And this plan that's before you is 16 dwelling units per acre. So they reduced it quite a bit. Additionally, with their parking, they had an approved ratio of 2.64 parking stalls per unit on the entire subdivision. But when we're only looking at the north side, they had a ratio of 2.9 stalls per unit. And they now are providing 3.11 stalls per unit. So we've lost units, gained better parking, and got a diversified type of dwelling unit. So it's not just your three-story consistent. Some of the other changes I provided to you in a chart in your staff report. So in before Clifton Place was approved, we were working on our Title 13 subdivision ordinance with our design standards. We did not have that codified, so it was nothing we held them to. It was something we knew about, and we said, hey, Brighton, these are the standards we're going towards. Please try to mend and mold to them, but we couldn't make them do that. So now it is adopted. They already are entitled to what they're approved with differed standards or exceptions and negotiated standards because of the P district. But we now have this code that we're trying to implement a little bit more. So in lieu of that, the minimum front setback for the perimeter, which is front doors that face a development boundary, was 30 feet. And we have agreed from staff level to reduce that to 15 feet. And the reason for that is on the other concept plan that was approved, the only place that this would apply is the southern property line, which is at the bottom of the sheet, and the western property line, excuse me, where South Davis Fire District is. And they didn't have any units there. And the one they did, they relocated as part of our approval, which we didn't ever get a revised plan because this kind of fizzled out, but they had 30 feet. Now they have units along that same property line, and it is a minimum of 15 feet. The DRC was very supportive of this change because it accommodates the diversified townhome type. So that's the first one. The other one was the building separation for the side facades. They had it approved at 20 feet, and we are requesting 15 feet for in between the sides of the dwelling units. And again, this is another situation of this is how we were able to get two-story and three-story with different styles. And the Planning Commission was in support of this because it gives the opportunity for people to own a townhome with a master bedroom on the main floor.
The DRC was in favor of it. You what said Planning Commission.
Excuse me. My brain's fried.
We don't know that yet.
You guys are in favor of it, right? Like, I can just assume. Okay, and then the last... Nope, not the last thing. I'm going to flip it, though. So, the minimum private street pavement. In our new ordinance, we're requiring that they meet our standards for public streets, right? But we also say that there's a 26-foot of right-of-way required for private streets with a minimum of 22 feet of pavement. They had on their general development plan 19 feet of pavement, and we know better now, and so we said we really need that increase to 22 feet. So to get that 22 feet of pavement that we so desperately desired, they had to reduce the minimum rear setback from the private street for the alley loaded area to a little 4-foot driveway instead of a little 5-foot driveway. And we require that standard so that people have a place to put their trash cans or their air conditioner or that kind of thing. It's not planned to be for parking. The staff was supportive of that reduction to get the wider asphalt or the wider pavement. And also it helps them meet the fire code requirements.
And we wanted to make sure that the courtyards on the interior, that we didn't compromise those and make them even smaller and tighter. We wanted to make sure that had a good feeling for being in that area, because we've had other townhome developments where the front of the buildings are so close together that it just feels really crowded and awkward to be in that space. So we felt like the best place to get the extra area for the pavement on the townhome and PUD private street would be to get from those 4-foot or the 5-foot driveways.
and this is the most updated plan. The last one you saw does not account for the extension of the road up by Unit 15. We required that and or asked for it so that there was a place for Unit 15 to safely traverse out of their driveway, and also so there was a place where we could potentially have snow removal pushed. Additionally, the revised plan accounts for the 22 feet of asphalt and the 4-foot alleyway driveways. And then it recentered the courtyards so that they have the exact same width on either side. Now, in the approved general development plan, there was just vast courtyards of either xeriscape or grass. These are a little bit different, where they have a kind of split rail product for a fence and patios that come out into the courtyard, but there remains a separation for the sidewalk, so you don't feel as closed in as you do in some of our other developments. And also it helps that they're not all three-story. There's not as much of a canyon effect. We will look at the elevations with the preliminary plan portion of this, but the DRC is recommending approval of the general development plan amendment with the findings as listed. I am happy to answer any questions, and I'm sure the applicant would like to as well. And if you'd like, we can also move into the preliminary plan right now so I can fill you in on any other details before you make motions on both items.
Does anyone have any questions at this point, or do we want to go into the preliminary plan also? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Just have all the information and then make both the motions. Okay. Yep. Works for me. If I can get to my staff report, I apologize. Okay, preliminary plan wise, this is just us zoning in on specifically that northern parcel, which is 2596 South Redwood Road. And again, it's zoned general commercial. It's adjacent to the fire station. I want to point out that the commercial acreage did not change at all in this application or in this amendment, and we are not accounting for the commercial area in this site plan application or this preliminary plan, because when they secure a commercial tenant or a commercial buyer, then they're going to come in with their own site plan. So this is part of the subdivision, but not part of the actual townhome side of it. We don't know what's going in the commercial yet. As far as landscaping goes, well, hold on. I've already told you all this. So in our preliminary plan staff report, we have the parking breakdown where you can see where the ratios are coming from. We only counted the tandem garages as one parking stall per all the discussions we had last time this came in. Of the total site, 32.8% is landscaped, and 6.6% of that landscaped area, or 12,244 square feet, is sod. And all of their sod areas are greater than 8 feet wide, so they're compliant with our water efficient landscaping standards. And I think the developer made a real attempt at putting them in locations where they can be used by someone with a dog or a kid or that kind of thing, to the best of their ability with the limited area. The other amenity here is the tot lot. When this general development plan was approved, it had a tot lot on this lot, and then on the southern parcel, there was a swimming pool, a changing room slash bathroom for the pool, and then some pickleball courts. We can't say whether or not those amenities are going to come in. The only one we can for sure say as part of this development will be that tot lot, and we know that will encourage those other amenities when it is time for that next amendment and or a different development on that property. And Sherry, can you? Oh, never mind. I think we're back. So here is the proposed architecture. This includes the proposed colors and materials. It's not too far off of what was approved already. I think it actually looks quite a bit better. And it gives you a feel for what those little courtyards look like and how that middle area will feel to traverse. Do you have any questions? I think those are the main points.
Looks like no. Any questions from the commission?
That's
Mackenzie,
a good sign. See, I knew the planning commission was going to say they agreed with me.
We agree with you. Anyway, I think we've seen this before, and so I don't think it's controversial in our minds. I see a lot of new elements that I like. So, I just really have a hard time finding anything that, other than the only thing I was curious about was what was the fire red lines that were mentioned? What would that pertain to?
I might have the developer ask, but I know one of them was that the fire department required the asphalt being widened, taking into account where next to a fire hydrant they had to have a certain area that was drivable, but we already corrected that in our red lines. And then also they needed to update their phasing plan so that there was adequate access in the phasing portion of it.
Yeah, because if they divide up the way the homes are in the plats, that when they build, if they don't build all the streets at the very first time, which they're not intending to, they can't go down a temporary dead-end street longer than 150 feet without a turnaround. And so they're going to do everything to the gravel road base on the northern street so that the fire trucks can pull through rather than have to turn around. So they have to provide either a temporary turnaround, so that's what they'll be providing. The 26 feet is from the fire code, so when they set up next to a fire hydrant, they have to have 26 feet of surface that they can put the struts out on the fire engine. And when we were having the 19-foot roads, they were like, well, if you're going to do only 20 feet, then you need to, where the fire hydrants are, put an additional 6 feet of pavement width. So when we went to the 22 feet with the 2-foot curbs on either side that were mountable curbs, that works for the fire department as a 26-foot drivable surface. And so they were okay with that change.
And in addition to that, we have not completed our engineering red lines for them to even revise at this point. I spoke with Karen right before this meeting, as you know, and she informed me that Public Works just got their revision to her. So we're hoping to get them to the applicant within the next day. But the engineering red lines will not modify the layout. It's all random things like they need to update this city spec or this utility can't be this close to this utility, etc. So we don't anticipate any modifications to this proposed layout as part of those red lines as well.
Thank you. And then one other question, in light of the dropping of the southern portion of the development, and I'm assuming there was a draft development agreement and all that, but can you just clarify the phasing, what's 1A, what's 1B, what's 2? Now yeah. We're only doing Clifton North.
I recognize I forgot to put that in there, and I'm very sorry. So phase 1 is the townhomes that are on 1100 North. And then, Sherry, I might just have you pull it up really quick. That's great. It's in submittal 1 in the plans folder. And then while she's doing that, I can tell you, though. So phase 1 is a townhome component. Phase 1B is the commercial component, which have to go simultaneously as far as platting goes. And then phase B, I think is what it's called, is the remaining portion of the townhome development, which is going to be up towards the Woods Cross boundary or the northern side of the development. So. And she's pulling it up for you. I'm so sorry, you guys. Thursday, we were just making
do. No problem.
I can't speak for everyone, but I've been quiet because I've been waiting for the catch, because we've already approved this, and this is better than what we approved before. So nice job. It's good.
I love that. See, guys? All that work wasn't for nothing.
Is there any concern separating? I'm thinking the lofts on Center Street.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any concern? It seems that most of the amenities are on the south side. So is there any concern that anyone has of, we approve this north one that only has, you know,
a tot lot,
and then south never happens or gets changed, or that some of the amenities that the block was expecting don't happen?
So I feel confident in that they're going to build the south phase. They just have a longer timeline to take down the property. And because they're not the owner of the property, we can't enter into a development agreement on a piece of property that they haven't closed on yet. And so we're kind of in this limbo space where we have to recognize that if in the event something happened on the south property, they didn't ever end up closing on it, that this north property would have to stand on its own. That's kind of a risk that we're taking and a risk that they're taking too. But I do feel like that this is a sufficient amenity for this smaller side of the development. So I'm not bothered by the size of the amenity for this
conversation was had in DRC. And I think I can't quote the police chief, but I can say he said something along the lines of, I'm not as worried about it in this location because they are in such close proximity to one of the biggest parks in the entire city, along with other amenities. So the DRC's consensus was, yeah, if it doesn't happen and we don't get those south amenities, it's okay because they have a splash pad within a mile or whatever that distance is. So.
Great, thank you. Any other comments or discussion? Any input or comment on any of the setback adjustments? And if not, we can work towards a motion. Let's do the amended general development plan a motion first.
Commissioner Jorgensen, I move that the Planning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of the proposed amended general development plan for Clifton Place, located at 2596 South, 1095 North Redwood Road, with the following findings. One, the plan is in accordance with the intent, standards, and criteria specified in Title 13 of City Code and other applicable regulations. Two, the plan conforms to the approved concept plan. Three, the plan creates no substantial financial hardship to the city. Four, the plan creates no substantial environmental consequence which will adversely impact upon adjacent properties and the health, safety, or welfare of the inhabitants of the city.
Thank you, Commissioner Jorgensen. Do we have a second?
Commissioner Holbrook, second.
Thank you. Any comment on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 And any opposed? And it passes. Great, and we can move on to any further discussion of the preliminary plan or move into the motion for the preliminary plan for the Clifton Place.
Commissioner Holbrook, I move that the Planning Commission approve the preliminary plan for Clifton Place North, located at 2596 South Redwood Road, with the following conditions. One, correction of engineering, planning, and fire red lines prior to final plat review, including increasing the minimum private road width to 22 feet of asphalt. Two, subject to the approval of the proposed amendments to the development agreement by the City Council.
Thank you, Commissioner Holbrook. And do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Ward. Any comment or discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And it passes. Thank you for your work on that. Thank you, staff, for your work and applicant. It looks great. That's really exciting to see that updated and amended a little bit. Thank you. And we will move to agenda item 7, report on City Council action items. Sherry.
I'm so thrilled with how efficient you guys are. Next time there are seats available on the City Council, run so that maybe they could be a little more efficient like you guys. I know, right? Anyway, I love the council too. I just came from the last council meeting where we were here till 11:30. So that was a really, really long agenda, and you guys are very efficient and shorter agendas, and I'm glad. Okay, so I wanted to just give you some action items that updated from the May 7th City Council meeting. So the City Council was approached by a member of the Parks and Arts Committee, and they were asking the City Council to support an application to the Discover Davis Mural Program. So this is a new program And ask the council for $10,000 to match a $10,000 grant that we can apply for with Davis County. So they're targeting right now a building over on Redwood Road. It is at, I want to say, 500 North. There's a big white building, kitty corner from the Lee's Marketplace, or where the, it's across the street from Del Taco. So there's a big white blank wall there. On the, what, yeah, on the east side of the road. Yep. And so we're really excited about that because the council gave the go-ahead for us to file an application for that. And so I think that would be something really fun to think about in the city and doing more murals. We haven't even entertained that. First, we want to get the money, and then we'll find the artist to go with it. And because the city will be putting in the money, then we'll have some say over what the content is, because obviously we want to make sure it's, you know, appropriate.
Kudos to that Parks and Rec member for doing that.
And they had just recently attended, some of them, Salt Lake City's Mural Fest. I don't know if you've heard of this, but on May 4th they had an event called Mural Fest where you could visit all of the murals in the Salt Lake Valley. And they even have a map. If you Google Salt Lake City Mural Fest, they have an interactive map, and you can click on a location on the map, see a picture of the mural, and read a little bit about the artist, and then you can go tour them. I recently was in South Salt Lake driving around in their little industrial area just south of the RC Willie, and there are some really cool murals. I called and talked to the city about how they've done it, and they're trying to get 10 murals done a year, and they've really ramped up their program, and it's really fantastic, and it's changed the neighborhood quite a bit because it cuts down on graffiti. A lot of graffiti artists, when people who do graffiti respect the artists who make the murals, because some of those artists come up in the ranks of people who vandalized property. So anyway, it's a really nice addition to our community. We're really excited about that. The second thing is the Town Center Market Study report was submitted to the City Council last Tuesday. So it had some really good, interesting facts in it. I have emailed you the link to that. It's on our website. It's a big document with lots of pictures and graphics, and so it's not possible to email you the PDF, but you can download it from our website, and I encourage you to do so. It's about 64 pages long, I think, and it has some really good insights. The other option for you, if you want some more information about it, you could watch the city's YouTube channel and watch the city council meeting from that if you want to see the consultant present for an hour and a half and get some of his insight. But I encourage you to read it because I think it's really good. There's some really good stuff in there that we can use to entice some businesses into our town center. So I'm pretty excited about that. And it's also some data that was kind of eye-opening when you compare some of the businesses that we have and compare some of the things that we have compared to our neighbors. For instance, we have a lot of more high-paying jobs in our industrial area and citywide than Bountiful has. They might have more commercial area, but those are lower paying jobs, and we have a lot of high paying jobs in our industrial park. And to see the impact that makes, to know that we have 15,000 jobs in the industrial park, all but 700 of those are people who commute in and out to North Salt Lake for those jobs. So there are 700 people who live in the city and work in the city, and they're just fascinating because I'm a data nerd. So anyway, I encourage you to take a look at that. The code amendment for the automotive accessory installation for Griffin Gold Detail Shop, that was approved by the city council. I'm sure if you remember annexation area D in Salt Lake County, a few years ago we went through the whole effort of getting that added to our annexation policy plan, and then we never annexed it. Salt Lake City is working on an annexation to annex all of that area and more that's outside of our area into their city boundaries. Under state code, because it's on our annexation declaration, we have to give a consent to allow them to annex that property. And so the city council did table action on that. They just wanted a little more information about the process and the study that we did, the feasibility study. So I'm going to report back to them next week, and they hopefully will be taking action on that.
What, which area was annex area D? I'm trying to remember how we labeled it.
So that was Misty River and, okay. and Crossy
Down
Ranch.
Down by Crossy Ranch.
Yeah. Yeah. Crossy Ranch and Misty
yeah.
River.
All right.
Yep.
So is there any concern that we get a major industrial artery coming down and dumping traffic
so
on Center Street?
There obviously is concern, but there isn't a lot we can do about that.
And I will note that you were, I remember you made a very good point that it's going to happen anyway, and it would have been better if we controlled it. So
the one thing is at least we don't have to pay to upgrade Center Street west of the Jordan River, because that was a terrible road. That 2200 West on Center Street is in terrible shape. And so Salt Lake City will be the one that will be taking care of that and widening it and improving that street. Looking at the traffic patterns, though, I think some traffic will come through our city, but I don't think it will be a lot, because it'll be more convenient for people to go a little bit further south to the 2200 North on-ramp and get on 215 there. And then they can go from there on to Legacy. And, of course, when the new interchange happens here with 215, they'll be able to get on 215 and get on I-15 very easily and not have to cut through our city. So I'm hopeful that it won't be too bad, but I can't guarantee it, obviously. The next thing is I wanted to make you all aware, and I've sent you also an email this afternoon with this link, that we have posted the vacancy for Catherine's position on the Planning Commission. So it's an unexpired term. It's just the rest of this year, and then whoever is appointed in that seat would have to be reappointed come January. But if you want to share that with your neighbors or other people you know in the community that would like to serve on the Planning Commission, that is now available for them to apply. The last two things is a request for one or two of you to participate in a couple of planning sessions. So the first one is called Beehive Bikeways. We were contacted by Council Member Knowlton, who also works for Wasatch Front Regional Council, and they are working on a program called Beehive Bikeways to develop family-friendly bikeways and capitalize on the funding that will be available through the Utah Trails Network. And so he would like to meet with a couple of people from the Parks Committee, a couple people from Planning Commission and city staff to identify those segments that we would like to seek for funding from the Utah Trails Network. And so if any of you are interested, we'll be having that meeting on May 23rd from 4 to 5:30 here at the City Hall.
So Sherry, I know that Ted and the Wasatch Front Regional Council had done a brainstorming session, and I think Ryan was there, you were there, I was there. But has the city actually kind of formed a consensus around what it wants through the Trails Committee? Do we already have kind of a preferred position?
We don't, and so that's why they're trying to get some support for that.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And try to make sure we are all on the same playing field and we're all working towards the same goal. So I think that's what he's trying to do, is unify that vision. The second one I have there is a joint Trails Commission. So Councilmember Knowlton also has contacted council members from Bountiful City and Centerville City and has set up a meeting on July 11th from 5:30 to 7:30 at Bountiful City Hall for the three cities to come together and talk about our active transportation plans and our facilities infrastructure and trying to get our plans to line up so that we can have a north-south route that connects all three cities and hopefully one day can connect all the way to Farmington. But we need a couple of people who can attend that meeting and a couple that can attend the Beehive Bikeways. They can be the same people or they could be different people. It's entirely up to your discretion and willingness to come to a meeting.
I will say that the Beehive Bikeways, the discussions we had at that meeting, Ron, were very interesting, and I think that's valuable. I can't make that date, so, but it was very, it was a good discussion.
Yeah, it was definitely at the brainstorming level, though. You know, it was just drawing lines on maps and what do you want in your
this,
area.
This will be specific to our city, so we can really give a united front on what we would like to see the trails in our city.
I'm a biker, and I'm more than happy to attend that. I think it would be somewhat useful to know what the Trails Committee's done already on this. So, you know, do they have some pretty strong ideas? I don't want to go there and then be at odds with them, whatever. So I'm just curious.
I think this is just going to be an internal one for us to talk. Then later we'll take that position to the trans
community. I couldn't make the second one, but I could make the Beehive Bikeways rep, and I could add it to my calendar. So I'd be happy to be one of the Planning Commission reps.
Thank you, Ron. I cannot make the May 23rd night either.
Same. I could potentially do July 11th, though.
I'm also available July 11th and would have interest.
That work for Ryan and Irene for that one? Anybody else want to come to the Beehive one that might be available? Okay. That's fine, too. So I just like, it's good that we'll have one representative.
Yeah,
so.
That's the graduation night. It's the last day of school. So it's tricky for anybody with...
That is a tricky night. Yes, it is.
So that's what you have going on here, is graduation and last night of school. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for you, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Sherry. Any questions for Sherry? Anything?
Would you send out meeting requests for those?
Yes, we will send you a meeting invite. They were waiting for me to check with you to see who could come before we sent the meeting invite. So we'll send that out right away tomorrow morning.
And reminder, on Thursday, general plan meeting at Foxborough Elementary if you haven't been able to make any of the other ones. And then we're having a business and or stakeholder meeting at City Hall that we've been advertising and sending out emails on Monday next week. And the citywide meeting is?
The citywide meeting on the general plan will be June 27th.
Here at City Hall.
And that's what I should have put on my other action items, is just to tell you, for those of you that weren't at the neighborhood meeting last night, I think we had some really good turnout and really good conversation. And I appreciate those of you that were able to make it. I think we've got the word out now, and I expect to see double the amount of residents attending in Foxborough, because they're usually much more engaged and they come to those meetings better.
Do you know the time of the 27th?
I do not know the time, but we will send you an update of that. I assume it'll be the same time, 6:30, but we haven't verified. So I don't know that off the top of my head.
Just out of curiosity, is there a thought that the hillside was poorly attended because most people not expecting much change? Is that why?
No, I think it was that there wasn't enough notice on the... for the meeting itself, which is why we've been sending out the notices and telling anyone that they can come to any neighborhood meeting. So anybody on the hillside who missed the first meeting can come to the Foxborough one. They're welcome to come to that one if they'd like. We were kind of pressed for time. We were trying to get, because we were going to be meeting at elementary schools, we were trying to get all of those meetings in before graduation. Mm-hmm. Before the 23rd.
Yeah.
So that was why that one was pressed a little bit too early. I think if we had had another week's notice, we would have had a few more people at that meeting. So it is unfortunate, but they still can come and participate at the citywide meeting on June 27th.
There's nothing that is inherently separate from the different meetings, right? Like they
no, they'll all, yeah, they're all the same, same surveys, everything. Yeah, cool. It's just we wanted to go out to the neighborhoods to meet with them.
Yeah,
on
it's
their
not
turf.
Location specific, though. Yeah,
yeah,
great. Thank you. Anybody else have anything for Sherry? If not, we can do the minutes from April 23rd. Any adjustments or amendments to the minutes?
Commissioner Jorgensen, they look excellent per usual. I make a motion to approve the meeting minutes as drafted for the April 23rd, 2024 Planning Commission meeting.
Thank you. And do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Ward. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. And we are adjourned. Nice work, everybody.